خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون ما أريد منهم من رزق وما أريد أن يطعمون إن الله هو الرزاق إن الله هو الرزاق ذو القوة المتين فإن للذين ظلموا ذنوبا مثل ذنوب أصحابهم فلا يستعجلون فويل للذين كفروا من يومهم الذي يوعدون.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen that we were able to conduct the class today. Today's class is the 16th, I believe. The first matter of the three matters, أن الله خلقنا ورزقنا ولم يتركنا هملا بل أرسل إلينا رسولا فمن أطاعه دخل الجنة ومن عصاه دخل النار. Our topic today is لم يتركنا هملا. We talked about lordship and we talked about the provider. When we established Allah created and provided, the author moves on to why He created us. Why did Allah create us? Which is, we said, subtitle C. He didn't leave us without a purpose. That creation and provision was for a purpose. Why? Why did He create us? Why did He provide for us? The author says, C, لم يتركنا هملا. He did not create us without a purpose. What is a hamil or hamala? What's hamala? Even with the dialects today, in the slang form of the Arabic that we have today, you hear on the tongues of many, they refer to someone as a hamil. And when they refer to that, they mean someone who has no purpose, no job. Usually they refer to it in a materialistic failure. They call him a hamil. This is actually a unique term that was used amongst the Arab back in the old days. Originally, it was used to refer to camels or animals that are unbridled or have no shepherd or herdsman. Basically, animals running day and night in the wild. Animals that are left loose and unattended. That's what hamala is. Here, it applies to animals. In the form of human animals. They are those who have no spiritual purpose or guidance in their life. They run on this earth like wild animals, unrestrained by the guidance of Allah day and night. Just like animals run in the wild day and night, they run day and night with no guidance from Allah. Let the Quran define to you what hamala is. وَلَقَدْ ذَرَأْنَا لِجَهَنَّمَ كَثِيرًا مِنَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنسِ لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا وَلَهُمْ أَعْيُنٌ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ بِهَا وَلَهُمْ آذَانٌ لَا يَسْمَعُونَ بِهَا أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلُّ. Surely, we created many of the jinn in mankind for hell. They have hearts where they don't believe in. They have hearts where they don't understand in. They have eyes where they don't see in. They have ears which they don't hear the truth in. They are like cattle. Then the verse says, no, even more astray. Those are the heedless ones. The other verse, الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا يَتَمَتَّعُونَ وَيَأْكُلُونَ كَمَا تَأْكُلُ الْأَنْعَامُ وَالنَّارُ مَثْوًا لَهُمْ. Those who disbelieve, enjoy themselves and eat like cattle. They're like cattle. They eat like cattle. And fire will be their abode. A believer must know why he was created. You have to know that. You have to know why Allah gave you provision, why Allah created you. If you ask someone the question of our topic today, لَمْ يَتْرُكْنَا هَمَلًا, why were you created? You're going to find so many different answers. Some will say, it's a wisdom only Allah knows. They put an Islamic touch to in an ignorant way. That's true. The Allah has wisdoms that we don't know in some matters. But in this matter, you must know. لَمْ يَتْرُكْنَا هَمَلًا. Allah said, أَيَحْسَبُ الْإِنسَانُ أَنْ يُتْرَكَ سُدًا? Does man think he will be left neglected and unattended? So that's some people who say that. Another category is like the famous poet early on in this century who said, جِئْتُ لَا أَعْلَمُ مِنْ أَيْنَ وَلَكِنِّي أَتَيْتُ. I got here, I don't know how I got here, but I got here. وَلَقَدْ أَبْصَرْتُ قُدَّامِي طَرِيقًا فَمَشَيْتُ وَسَأَبْقَى مَاشِيًا وَسَأَبْقَى مَاشِيًا إِنْ شِئْتُ هَذَا أَمْ أَبَيْتُ. I found a path before me, so I walked. And I'll continue walking, whether I like it or not. كَيْفَ جِئْتُ كَيْفَ أَبْصَرْتُ طَرِيقِي لَسْتُ أَدْرِي. So he went on to say, how I got here, how I seen that path in front of me, I don't know, but I got here. Sheikh Kishk in the 60s, and this was popular belief among a lot of people. Sheikh Kishk in the 60s gave a khutbah on this because this was a poem, but there was a singer who made this poem famous. His name was actually the same name of the author of this book. The singer who sang that song was the same name as the author of this book. His name is Muhammad bin Abdul Wahab. Sheikh Kishk told him, he was basically in his 60s, the man, the singer, late 60s. He said, you're a span away from your grave. And you're speaking and uttering words of kufr. You don't know where the worship, what you were created for. And he broke down the poem and how it has matters that are kufr. After I grew up and read, I used to think it was the singer. From listening to Kishk, I thought it was the words of the singer. But it turned out that the words were a poem from another wretched poet. He was from Lebanon. He came to this country. His name, Ilya Abu Mahdi. Many of you probably heard of him. He came here in 1910 or so and lived in the United States. Why I say this is because these wretched characters, even though they were popular in the 60s, they were stars in the Arabic world for millions and millions. He's a peer to the singer Umm Kulthum, the woman who in her funeral had 4 million people follow her. Any one of you who's Arabic, over here, ask your parents or your grandparents for sure, but your parents, who Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab is, the singer, and the Umm Kulthum is. People who elevate, when it's millions, elevate in such filth and gutter to a star-like status are unworthy of honor. That's why that was the defeated, humiliated generation. The generation of Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab, the singer, and Umm Kulthum, the generation they raised, were met by humiliation after humiliation. In 1948, between the 50s and 60s, 1967, in 1969, in 73, between 71 and 80, read history. Then Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab raised a generation of humiliated, dishonored, hamal, who do not know the purpose, their purpose on this earth. This imam, Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab, raised a generation on al-usul al-thalatha and on tawheed, who learned the purpose of their creation and in return revived tawheed for this ummah. So many say they were created for wisdom only Allah knows. No, you have to know this wisdom too. This is kind of wisdom that you have to know. Some say they don't know where they got here and throw around kufr statements like that poet and singer we said. Some of them say Allah created us for worship, which is the correct answer, but their understanding is superficial. They're not deep and substantive in what worship is. And that's basically the topic of our tawheed. All that relates to why we were created. Some adopt the devilish thinking of some Greek philosophers who say that Allah created the universe and forgot. And that's why there was so many problems among the people on earth, because Allah forgot about us. Ma'adallah. Astaghfirullah. All that, Allah responded to it centuries before they even uttered it. وَمَا كَانَ رَبُّكَ نَسِيَّ. Your Lord is not forgetful. He doesn't forget. And then you got other people who say, the universe is the fun and play of Allah. Astaghfirullah. Likewise, Allah responded to him, أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا وَأَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا تُرْجَعُونَ. You think we created you in play without any purpose, and that you're not going to come back to us to be judged and held accounted for what for your previous life? Then you got a group who will say, and many think, that life is, you live your life and then you die and it's overdone, and over and done with. If this was true, then death would be the goal of nearly every living being. But death is the start. Then there's the grave. Then there's resurrection. Then there's reckoning. Then there's the scale. Then there's the sirat. Then there's eternal hell and heaven. زَعَمَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَنْ لَنْ يُبْعَثُوا قُلْ بَلَى وَرَبِّي لَتُبْعَثُنَّ ثُمَّ لَتُنَبَّأُنَّ بِمَا عَمِلْتُمْ وَذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرٌ. The disbelievers claim that they will never be resurrected. Tell them, Muhammad. Allah says, tell them, قُلْ بَلَى وَرَبِّي لَتُبْعَثُنَّ. You will certainly be resurrected. And then you will be told and informed of that which you did. The point is that one must know he was created for a purpose. You gotta know that you were created for a purpose. لَمْ يَتْرُكْنَا هَمَلًا. Which is, in reality, this life is a test to see who fails and who wins. Allah called it a test. لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. Whichever Allah says, Allah wants you to prove your action through this test, who is righteous and who is not. This life is not a mall where, or a supermarket that closes at 9 o'clock and then it's over and done with one's death. لَمْ يَتْرُكْنَا هَمَلًا. وَنَضَعُ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْطَ لِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ فَلَا تُظْلَمُ نَفْسٌ شَيْئًا وَإِنْ كَانَ مِثْقَالَ حَبَّةٍ مِنْ خَرْدَلٍ أَتَيْنَا بِهَا وَكَفَى بِنَا حَاسِبِينَ. We shall set up the balance. Allah is going to set a real balance, a real scale, the scale of justice on the day of resurrection. And no one will be dealt with unjustly. وَإِنْ كَانَ مِثْقَالَ حَبَّةٍ مِنْ خَرْدَلٍ أَتَيْنَا بِهَا وَكَفَى بِنَا حَاسِبِينَ. If it's a tiny weight of mustard seed or even less than that, Allah will bring it. And He is the sufficient to take account of what you did in the previous life. وَقَالَ الْإِنسَانُ مَا لَهَا. It's the day when one says, what's going on here? What is it that's going on here? وَكُلَّ إِنسَانٍ أَلْزَمْنَاهُ طَائِرَهُ فِي عُنُقِهِ وَنُخْرِجُ لَهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ كِتَابًا يَلْقَاهُ مَنْشُورًا. اِقْرَأْ كِتَابَكَ. كَفَى بِنَفْسِكَ الْيَوْمَ عَلَيْكَ حَسِيبًا. We fasten for every man's deeds to his necks. On the day of resurrection, they will be brought up. We shall bring up for him all that deeds in the book, and it will be presented. اقرأ كتابك. Read. وَكُلُّ صَغِيرٍ وَكَبِيرٍ مُسْتَطَرٍ. Everything small and big is written down. وَأَنْ لَيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى. He created us to follow His guidance. لَمْ يَتْرُكْنَا هَمَلًا. The verses on this are numerous and numerous. A man went to Ibn Umar رضي الله عنهما. He said, Abu Abdurrahman. Or he said, Ibn Umar. Abu Abdurrahman was his kunya. Ibn Umar is attributing him to his father. Did you hear anything from the Prophet ﷺ in Najwa, in private, that you want to share? هل سمعت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في النجوى? Did you hear him anything in private you could share with me? Ibn Umar said, I heard the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم say, the believer will be brought near his Lord. And Allah covers him with a screen and tells him and asks him and he confesses. سمعت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول, يدنى المؤمن من ربه حتى يضع عليه كنفه. فَيُقَرِّرُهُ بِذُنُوبِهِ. Allah will ask him, do you know you did this? Did you know that sin? He go over the sins. تَعْرِفُ ذَنْبَ كَذَا. He will say twice, يَا رَبْ أَعْرِفْ. Oh Allah, I know. يَقُلْ رَبِّ أَعْرِفْ. رَبِّ أَعْرِفْ. I know, Ya Allah. He confesses his sin. There's no way out of it. فَيَقُولُ سَتَرْتُهَا فِي الدُّنْيَا وَأَغْفِرُهَا لَكَ الْيَوْمِ ثُمَّ تُطْوَى صَحِيفَةُ حَسَنَاتِهِ. I concealed it in the world before and I'm going to forgive it to you today. Then his record, his registry of deeds falls up. وَأَمَّا الْآخَرُونَ أَوِ الْكُفَّارِ فينادى على رؤوس الأشهاد هؤلاء الذين كذبوا على ربهم. The other ones, the others, the disbelievers, it will be announced publicly before all the people. Those are the ones who lied and disbelieved in their Lord. الترمذي عدي بن حاتم قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ما منكم من رجل إلا سيكلمه ربه يوم القيامة وليس بينه وبينه ترجمان فينظر أيمن منه فلا يرى شيئا إلا شيئا قدمه ثم ينظر أشأم is left من فلا يرى إلا شيئا قدمه ثم ينظر تلقاء وجهه فتستقبله النار. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من استطاع منكم أن يتقي النار ولو بشق تمرة فليفعل. There will be none amongst you except that Allah will speak to him with no interpreter, with no barrier. You're going to go stand before Allah. Imagine that reality. Standing before Allah. Wallahi al-Azim is going to happen. Focus as it's going to happen and imagine as it's going to happen. He's standing before Allah. He looks to his right. He sees nothing but his deeds. Then he looks to his left. ثُمَّ يَنْظُرُ أَشْأَمَ مِنْهُ means he looks to his left. And then he sees nothing but his sins. Wallah, it's a scenery that tears the hearts. Then he looks in front of him. His deeds to his right, his sins to his left. He looks in front of him. He sees hell. There's no escape in it. Good and bad, there's no escape in it. Wretched and successful, all are headed to that direction. To the direction of hell. Where are they going? They're going to the direction of hell. Righteous are going over it, and the wicked are going in it. Nas'alullah an-najah. But over it, and not in it. Then there are those who go over it, but get clawed in it. And then there are those who go at the speeds, the various speeds that we know in the famous hadith about that. The hadith says that everyone looks in front of him and sees hells. Then it continues, save yourself. That's your purpose. Save yourself from hell. Even by giving a portion, a half, a portion of a day in charity, so you can present it to Allah on the judgment day that you gave that. Save yourself from hell, even if given that tiny little thing. فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازْ وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. You were created and you need Allah. Don't ever think Allah created us to have more creation. Don't ever think that Allah created us because He needs our support. He created us and He is al-ghani. He is independent of His creation. In the authentic hadith al-Qudsi, in Sahih Muslim, O my servants, you can't reach me to harm. You can't reach me to harm me. Nor can you reach me to benefit me. Ya ibadi, innakum lan tablughu durri fatadurruni wa lan tablughu naf'i fatanfa'uni. Ya ibadi, law anna awwalakum wa akhirakum wa insakum wa jinnakum kanu ala atqa qalbi rajulin wahidin minkum ma zada dhalika fi mulki shay'a. Oh my servants, if from the first to the last of you, every one of you, human and jinn, nobody left out, were as pious as the most pious man you can think of, if you were as pious as him, that's not going to increase my kingdom. That's Allah telling you that. Your piety will not increase Allah's kingdom. You're not doing Allah a favor by doing deeds. Ya ibadi, law anna awwalakum wa akhirakum wa insakum wa jinnakum kanu ala afjari qalbi rajulin wahidin minkum ma naqasa dhalika min mulki shay'a. Oh my servants, if you're first and you're last, and you're human, and you're jinn, every one of you were as wicked as the most wicked man, human, or jinn on the face of the earth that you can imagine, that would not decrease the kingdom, my kingdom. Allah speaking to you because this is hadith Qudsi. My kingdom any tiny little bit. Ya ibadi, law anna awwalakum wa akhirakum wa insakum wa jinnakum qamu fi sa'idin wahidin fasa'aluni fa'a'taytu kulla wahidin mas'alatah ma naqasa dhalika min mulki shay'an illa kama yanqusu al-mikhyatu idha udkhila al-bahar. Oh my servants, where the first of you and the last of you get together. And all of you, you're human, you're jinn, every last one of you, in one place. And request of me everything they wanted. And I gave every one of them that which he requested. It would not decrease my kingdom, my wealth that Allah has, the kingdom of Allah, any less than a needle decreases when you put it in the sea. Go to the Atlantic Ocean, put a needle or a string in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, then take it out. How much less did the Atlantic Ocean become? That's the Atlantic Ocean. Allah runs and rules and owns the universe. Ya ibadi, innama hiya a'malukum. Uhsiha lakum. Look at that. This is the conclusion. Ya ibadi, innama hiya a'malukum. Uhsiha lakum. Thumma wafikum ya. Faman wajada khayran falyahmadillah. Waman wajada ghayra thalika fala yalumanna illa nafsa. Oh my servants, here is the conclusion. It is only your deeds that I reckon up for you. I gather and collect and add them up for you, registers them for you. For the day of recompense, so you can be judged by them. Whoever finds good, let him praise Allah. And whoever finds other than that, let him not blame but himself. وَلَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ بَعْدَ إِصْلَاحِهَا. Among the meaning of the verse, don't cause mischief on this earth after it has been set in order. Meaning the entire earth was created for worship. The purpose of the universe was for worship. Whoever does not do worship has caused mischief. That's the meaning of the verse, وَلَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ بَعْدَ إِصْلَاحِهَا. أَيَحْسَبُ الْإِنسَانُ أَنْ يُتْرَكَ سُدًى. Does man really think he will be left neglected? This whole universe, your creation, your lifespan, you really think you're going to live 15, 16, 70 years, or whatever you may live, what Allah grants you, and then it's over and done with? أَلَيْسَ ذَلِكَ بِقَادِرٍ عَلَىٰ. After Allah talks about the human and how he's a drop of sperm and then a claw, and then Allah says, أَلَيْسَ ذَلِكَ بِقَادِرٍ عَلَىٰ يُحْيَ الْمَوْتَى. The one who does that and created you from emitted sperm and then a clot, he can't resurrect you to question you again. So we establish that we have a purpose in this life, a goal to attain. To be saved from hell, that's what we gotta work on. To be saved from hell and to attain the highest level of heaven. الأولى أن الله خلقنا. We talked about خلقنا ورزقنا ولم يتركنا هملا بل أرسل إلينا رسولا فمن أطاعه دخل الجنة ومن عصاه دخل النار. He sent messengers to us. This is D, subcategory D. He, the Allah, we created us and provided for us. That's A and B. Why? C, so we can worship him. D is how. C was why, and D is how. We need to be taught how to worship Allah. We need to be taught how to worship Allah to achieve the purpose he created us on this earth for. And that's why he sent us messengers who are bearers of good tidings and warners from hellfire. Just because we're in the technology age, just because we have iPhones and computers, and just because we're advanced in transportation and communication and medicine, it doesn't mean we can figure out what pleases Allah on our own. We cannot neglect the desperate need we have for messengers on this earth, for guidance. Allah, from His mercy, the Mighty, the Majestic, sent mankind messengers. He sent us messengers. And we're the honored ummah that got the beloved messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He related to us the ayat. He purified us from evil, all types of evil. He taught us the book and wisdom, because before that we were in manifest error, we were in the gutter. هو الذي بعث في الأميين رسولا منهم يتلو عليهم آياتي ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة وإن كانوا من قبله لفي ضلال مبين. Just as Allah sent us the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, He sent messengers before to the people. وَإِن مِّنْ أُمَّةٍ إِلَّا خَلَى فِيهَا نَذِيرٌ. Surah Fatir, Allah says, there was not a nation except Allah sent a warner, a messenger, to teach them, to tell them the purpose of life. The purpose? Allah sent messengers to creation so that it will be proof established for them or against them. يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ قَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولُنَا يُبَيِّنُ لَكُمْ عَلَى فَتْرَةٍ مِّنَ الرُّسُلِ أَن تَقُولُوا مَا جَاءَنَا مِنْ بَشِيرٍ وَلَا نَذِيرٍ فَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ بَشِيرٌ وَنَذِيرٌ وَاللَّهُ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ O people of the scripture, we have sent you a messenger to make things clear for you. عَلَىٰ فَتْرَةٍ مِّنَ الرُّسُلِ أَن تَقُولُ مَا جَاءَنَا There was a break in the series of messenger. أَن تَقُولُ مَا جَاءَنَا Why? أَن تَقُولُ مَا جَاءَنَا So that you will not say that no one taught us. No one came to us and gave us the glad tidings and a warning. Here you have him. A bringer of glad tidings and a warner. The messengers they got, and the messenger we got, and that which came to them. It was from Allah's wisdom that He sent messengers to creations as bearers of good tidings and warner. Why? We said it. It's impossible for us to achieve the goal that Allah put us on this earth to worship Him. The tawheed we study, all that tawheed we study, in the manner that pleases Allah. Without messengers to teach us. Messengers are the ones who explain and educate to us what Allah is pleased with. And whatever displeases Allah. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا كَافَّةً لِلنَّاسِ When it was finalized with the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Allah says to him, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا كَافَّةً لِلنَّاسِ بَشِيرًا وَنَذِيرًا وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ O Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we sent you as a messenger to all mankind to give glad tidings and to be a warner. But most do not comprehend or do not realize. وَإِن مِّنْ أُمَّةٍ إِلَّا خَلَى فِيهَا نَذِيرًا There's not a never was a nation except but there was a warner that was amongst them. وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا أَنِعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَاجْتَنِبُ الطَّاغُوتِ We sent among every single nation, community, whatever it may be, a messenger tell them, worship Allah and stay away and denounce the طاغوت. Make bara'ah from the طاغوت. All these verses and hundreds more establish the proof that the author's talking about over here. بَلْ أَرْسَلَ إِلَيْنَا رَسُولًا We will get more into messengers at the core of the book, inshallah. So we'll take that should be sufficient for D. بَلْ أَرْسَلَ إِلَيْنَا رَسُولًا He sent us messengers. The next statement, the author says, فَمَنْ أَطَاعَهُ دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ وَمَنْ عَصَاهُ دَخَلَ النَّارِ So whoever obeys him will enter paradise. Whoever obeys him will enter paradise. Whoever disobeys him will enter Jahannam. عَفَانَ اللَّهُ وَإِيَّاكُمْ مِدَالِي The conclusion of the first, here's how it's broken down. The chapter 2 that we're on right now, we said has three matters. The first matter is what we're working on. And we broke the first matter into six subcategories. I said it's going to be A to F. The first two are introduction, that Allah created and provided. That's introduction. The second two are the body. That means why. Why did Allah create us? To worship Him. How do we do that? He sent us messengers. That's the second two. Now it's the final two, which is E and F, which is the conclusion. You obey the messengers, you do what you're supposed to do, then it's Jannah. You disobey, it's Jahannam. عَافَانَ اللَّهُ وَإِيَّاكُمْ مِنْ ذَلِكَ You must obey the messengers. Allah said, مَنْ يُطِعَ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهُ Whoever obeys the messengers has obeyed Allah. Here, let's start off with an important point, and that is an important point regarding obedience to the messenger, that when there's an authentic hadith in the context of proving something, belief, It's at the same level of, basically matters of legislation, it's at the same level as the Quran. If I tell you authentic hadith as proof, when we talk about only authentic hadith, about something, then that's just as if you found it in the Quran, no difference. In matters of halal, haram, do or don't, it's in the same. Look at the verse in the Quran. حُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْكُمُ الْمَيْتَةُ وَالْدَّمُ وَلَحْمُ الْخِنْزِيرِ Look at that verse. Allah considers in this all corpse, And all blood haram. If you stop there, then fish is haram. You say, oh, look what, like a lot of ignorant people do not, particularly on this matter and other matter. Oh, I found it in the Quran. If you take it alone, then fish is haram. That's why you gotta take it with the sunnah together. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then in another hadith said, there's two dead things and two blood things that are lawful. The lactis and the fish and the liver and the spleen. So you had to have taken the Quran and the sunnah together. أَلَا وَإِنِّي أُوتِيتُ الْقُرْآنَ وَمِثْلَهُ مَعُهُ. I have been given the Quran and something like it, مِثْلَهُ, مِثْلَهُ, like it. Not something under it, like it. In many verses in the Quran, many verses. وَأَطِيعُ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. وَأَطِيعُ اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُ الرَّسُولَ. It never said, obey and then, thumma. It says, wa. Wa means and. Thumma means and then. It always uses wa. Some use the supposed hadith that it's rare to open a book of usul of the old books and find this hadith not in there. And it's when Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam supposedly sent Mu'atiyam, which he did, but this portion of the hadith is correct. But the other, he asked him, what are you going to judge by? He said, by the Quran. He said, if you don't find it in the Quran, he said, I'll go to the sunnah. He said, what if you don't find it in the sunnah? You go to the jama'ah. The latter portion of the hadith is what we're talking about here. The saying gives preference to the Quran in matters we mentioned. And that would have been a strong proof opposing what I just said. The only problem is that it's not attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the fact that both its sanad and its matin are munkar. The chain and the hadith itself are classified as munkar. Matters, legislation, haram and halal in both the Quran and the sunnah are equal. Applying matters of belief found in the Quran in the sunnah is equal. Applying matters of worship found in the Quran and the Sunnah are equal. Applying matters dealing with others, matters that pertain to matters or rules and regulations dealing with others found in the Quran and the Sunnah are the same. What's in the Sunnah authentic, when you're told to do it, is no different than when it's in the Quran telling you to do it. No difference. Meaning, when Allah says do, don't, and the Prophet ﷺ says do and don't, it's the same. Why? Because both the Quran and the Sunnah came to us on the tongue of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. We got it through the tongue of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. The meaning of both revelation, the Quran and the Sunnah, is from Allah. You're obligated to do what you're told in both the Quran and the Sunnah. Of course, the authentic sunnah. And to both the Quran and the sunnah, you say, I hear and I adhere. In huwa illa wahyun yuha. He's nothing but a revelation, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yes, the Quran in other matters has higher status. For example, the Quran is the word of Allah. The meaning of both is from Allah. The Quran is the word of Allah. The hadith is the word of Allah. Is the word of the Prophet, the word of the Prophet, the meaning is from Allah. Recitation, another matter where the Quran is higher status, the recitation of the Quran. You get 10 hasanat for every single letter you read in the Quran. That doesn't apply to the sunnah. So it has a higher status in that. Many of the, a third area where it has precedent in that the Quran, many of the ulama say that you cannot touch it without, it's a disputed matter. The majority go to the fact that you can't touch it without having wudu, which is not disputed in the hadith, which you should show respect, but it's not a disputed matter in the hadith. Obedience to the Prophet ﷺ must be total, complete, blind obedience. You can't pick and choose. You can't say, oh, in the masajid, I'm going to take the ibadah, in salah and that. But outside the masajid, it's a whole different story. Legislation, ruling, hakimi, that's a whole different story. Or you're going to say, I pray and fast and I wear hijab, but then suddenly a traditional event comes where the family do it and you collapse, and it's a major sin and you collapse in front of that and you go ahead and do it. وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا مُبِينًا. It's not the choice of any believer, male and female, men and women. When Allah and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam make a decision to have an option of their own decision. Whoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger has went astray and is in total manifest error. Look how it mentioned, وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنٍ. We said before that if he said mu'min, it would have been sufficient. But that's to emphasize, it shows every single one of you. لا تجعلوا دعاء الرسول بينكم كدعاء بعضكم بعضا قد يعلم الله الذين يتسللون منكم لواذا فليحذر الذين يخالفون عن أمره أن تصيبهم فتنة أو يصيبهم عذاب أليم. Those who oppose the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's orders, beware. That's the end of the verse. Beware, a fitna is going to hit you. Those who disobey the Prophet's order, painful torment is going to hit you. What's fitna here? Fitna here is either possibly disbelief. It's also earthquake, trials, afflictions, overpowering of tyrants amongst you, overpowering of enemies amongst you. Who gets all that? If you disobey the command of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. إِنَّمَا كَانَ قَوْلَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذَا دُعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ لِيَحْكُمَ بَيْنَهُمْ أَنْ يَقُولُوا سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. The true believers. Some claim to be believers. But the faithful true believers are the ones who say, when called on to the word of Allah and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to judge between them, we hear, we obey. We don't want to hear nothing else. That's it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Allah gave a word. We don't want to hear your input about it. Listen to the hadith of Abi Barzat al-Aslami radiallahu anhu. The hadith is summarized in Sahih Muslim. In fact, Imam Muslim has a chapter named after it. Bab Fada'il Julaybib. He named a chapter after Julaybib radiallahu anhu. A longer version is found in other books of Sunan. Actually, it's found, there's another one in Musnad Imam Ahmad, identical chain of Sahih Bukhari, but it has more details in it. So it's authentic as well. Julaybib is a man that didn't look good, Sahabi radiallahu anhu. From his description, you read, he was possibly short. You might figure that he was possibly neglected, and no one wanted to give him a wife. And you could also see that he was possibly poor. His name, Julaybib, even in Julaybib, is a diminutive tasghir. It's a diminutive of the word jilbab, which is what women wear. It's a small version, tasghir. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved this man. He gave him attention, he gave him sympathy, he gave him kindness and affection. Rahmatan lil alameen, as he did with all the sahaba. Every one of, last one of them thought that he was the most special man to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a gathering, when a man was in a gathering, when a man from the Ansar was before him, he said, I would like to ask you for your daughter for marriage. The man got excited, he got happy. He said, ni'imma wa karama ya Rasulallah wa nu'ma ayni. Give words. Yes, yeah, of course. No question about it. Who would want the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a son-in-law? And his grandchildren's blood mixing with the blood of the Prophet, having the blood of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, the Prophet, but it's not for me. The man said, well, who is it for? He said, it's for Julaybib. Any one of Julaybib's characteristics that I mentioned is sufficient for some to reject him. Imagine all of them together combined in one man. At that point, you can see that this man hesitated. From the Ansar, he hesitated. You can possibly imagine his voice softening as he said, let me consult his mother. When he got to the mother, he said, the Prophet, he said exactly what the Prophet told him. He said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is asking for your daughter in marriage. She said, ni'imma wa nu'matu ayni. Who wouldn't want that? Then he broke her happiness and cheer with saying that, but what he doesn't want her for him, he wants her for Julaybib. You can imagine the sudden silence or the jaw possibly dropping and what went through her mind. Moments ago, the dream of having the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as the son-in-law in Al Julaybib. She said, Ajulaybibun inya? Three times. Julaybib, yuck, yuck. Basically, inya means yuck. La la amrullah. La uzawwij Julaybib. Wallahi, I'm not going to give Julaybib my daughter. We have better than him. You want us to give Julaybib to him? You want us to give our daughter to Julaybib? When the man got up to return, informed the Prophet ﷺ of his wife's decision, the daughter asked, who does the Prophet ﷺ want for me? The mother told her the story. She said, you reject what the Prophet ﷺ asked or recommended for me? Let me go forth with it. Wallahi, Allah will never neglect me or forsake me. What a woman. Wallahi, what a woman. That's our point right here. We need to learn from that. We say these stories, but do we really learn from them? that young girl, her submission to Allah and the Sunnah. That's tawheed. That's tawheed. That's iman. That's ihsan. That's obedience to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam that we're trying to get. This is sufficient for you to know. If you leave today with this alone, that's sufficient for you to be among those who are successful. She's seen happiness in her life in the obedience of what Allah and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam chose for her. Because happiness is in obedience to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Seeking to please Allah and the orders of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam will eliminate your pursuit of happiness, because happiness will then pursue you. That's what this woman understood. Did she say, is it wajib? Did the Prophet mean it's wajib? Is it far? Is it obligatory for me, or is he just recommending it? Did she say, I don't find that in the Quran where he can force me to marry someone? Did she burst out laughing at her, that beautiful woman from a prestige family of the Ansar, marrying Julaybib? Did she say that doesn't apply to me? Well, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam recommended and she accepted his recommendation. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam died and his sunnah is still there for you to apply it just like that woman applied it. النَّبِيُّ أَوْلَى بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ مِنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has precedent for the believers over your own selves. Over your own selves. What's the dowry? What's the house we're going to live in? What area of Medina? Where's the source of income? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam recommended this man to this girl, and that's all she needed to know. No other questions. It's as she's saying, Mom, I love you. Dad, I love you. But the word of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the only word I'll take over your word. And his recommendation is that one I'll take over you. That's her status. That's basically what you see from her statement. What many neglect to mention when they mention the story, it's a famous story, was it obligatory on her to marry this man or not? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was asking, recommending. It wasn't an order. It was a khutbah. Khutbah means you ask. The recommendation of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was not for a woman like this to reject. Even if all the odds were against her. All the odds for her future are against her. But if the Prophet recommended it, that's it. Even if it was a recommendation. Imagine when you're told of a sunnah and you sit and nag and complain about it. A simple sunnah. This is a lifetime with this man. More so, imagine those who are told with a wajib that the Prophet ﷺ said, a wajib, they say, oh, it's not in the Quran. They sit and quibble and argue and want to debate you. Wajib, sunnah. How you say that? It was the fruit of tawheed, exactly what we study, that was means for her to submit to a mere suggestion by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Today, you have people who go decades unable, a lifetime, unable to quit an alcohol addiction or other addictions. They go in and out of alcohol rehabs and Alcohol Anonymous. Alcoholism now is considered a disease. Reports, read the reports. They say it's a disease, no cure for it. Nearly all the people who specialize in this field, they tell you it's no cure, it's a disease. No matter, they say no matter how long one remains sober, he can relapse anytime. No doubt it's a strong addiction. But look at the Sahaba. The Sahaba were nearly all alcoholics. It was exceptional for some that didn't drink in Jahiliyyah. They were in the beginning of Islam before it was prohibited. It was documented that he was not an alcoholic. He did not drink. In the books you read that. Why? Because it was exceptional for one didn't drink. And it wasn't just a weekend drinking. It was everyday thing. And it wasn't just at nighttime. It was day and night that they drank deep into alcohol. Do you think would not the Prophet, I'm not going to say the Prophet, the Prophet's messenger went out and shouted in Medina, alcohol is prohibited. What do you think their reaction was to the strong addiction that today is considered something that's a disease? The sip was on their mouth. They were about to drink some of them. انتهينا انتهينا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا إنما الخمر والميسر والأنصاب والأزلام رجس من عمل الشيطان فاجتنبوه لعلكم تفلحون. انتهينا انتهينا. فهل أنتم منتهون؟ انتهينا انتهينا. Why was there no relapse among the Sahaba? Epidemic and relapse when it was a whole society that left alcohol. Why wasn't there an epidemic and relapse? Why did anyone doubt, not the messenger, I'm not saying the messenger, he sent a messenger to go shout in the alleys. The messenger's messenger, no one said, are you serious? Are you for real? No one said that. Why didn't anyone ask, is this haram or makruh? Is the Prophet saying, is this haram or makruh? It was the tawheed that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam worked on for over a decade that filled their hearts with iman to accept the commands at such ease. They obeyed the orders. They refrained from the haram. No resistance. Rather, they obeyed it, overwhelmed with joy that we're the honored followers of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. Nay, no, by your Lord. They will not have no faith. They will not be believers. حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُكَ. Until you be the judge. In all disputes between them. ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا. And they find nothing in themselves. No resistance. You can't just accept it. You can't have no resistance for decisions. You have to accept it with full submission. The wise father returned to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, O Prophet, it's your decision. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam married her to this woman. The days go by, newlyweds. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes to a battle. Do you think a partner of a woman in such status and obedience to Allah and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, her partner, you think he's going to go and cry honeymoon? He's like her. الطيبات للطيبين والطيبون للطيبات. Good spouses for good spouses. When you're having difficulty, you brothers here, a lot of you are single, difficulty finding the woman at a status, high status in iman, then the problem is work on yourself. When you get to that status, Allah inshallah is gonna provide you a woman at that same status. Like Julaybib. Julaybib joins in the battle. At the end of the battle, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam usually asks, in many battles, he's known to say, who do you miss? Who do I miss from my Sahaba? They begin to mention many names. So-and-so and so-and-so. He says, do you miss anyone else other than those who you mentioned? They say, no, O Prophet of Allah. Julaybib lived neglected. Julaybib lived a loner. But he had the honor of the friendship of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who didn't neglect him. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, but I miss Julaybib. So immediately they remembered and went in pursuit of Julaybib. Then they find him near seven that he had fought towards the end of the battle, and he fought them and he killed them and they killed him. So he killed seven before meeting his end. And they told the Prophet, oh, he's over there. And they explained to him. He said, he killed seven and they killed him. He is from me and I am from him. He is from me and I am from him. And he is from me and I am from him. The narrator of the hadith says the Prophet kept repeating either two or three times. The Prophet laid him in his forearms. Imagine that. As the Sahaba began to dig the grave. Then he, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, took him, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took him and put him in the grave with his blessed hands himself. The neglected man. The man who had an incomplete name. The man who was looked down in society. Thabit said there was none from the Ansar whose financial status was like that woman who married Julaybib. She used to spend and spend as if she never fears poverty. And it's because the Prophet, when he heard what she said, he said, Allahumma subba alayha al-khayra sabba wa la taj'al aishaha kadda. Oh Allah, pour your blessings upon her and don't make her life hard. Oh Allah, pour your blessings on her and don't make her life hard. And it was later in some other narration said that there wasn't a man standing at the burial of Julaybib except that he wished he was Julaybib. رضي الله عنه وأرضاه وجمعنا وإياكم معه في الفردوس الأعلى. We have about 15 minutes to take some questions.